Hello, and welcome to another episode of On Air the Johnsonian. My name is Lynn.
My name is Scooter. Guess what? You couldn't get rid of us that fast.
Yeah.
That was a really good goof.
Mm-hmm. We're back with a spooky October episode.
Guess what, guys? It is spooky month!
It is the scary month. It is the Halloween month.
Which is where we thrive.
Mm-hmm.
Which means we are going to be funnier than ever.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not make promises we can't keep, but, you know, we'll try. To start us off this week, though, we're going to be answering some questions.
Advice! Wee-woo.
Advice segment, yeah. Our first question today is, how do you open a stubborn glass jar? Asking for a friend.
for a friend, right.
Yeah. We totally have no idea who this friend might be.
No, it you actually know, isn't one of us, to
this,
be fair.
Yeah, no. This question is super timely, considering we very recently had a floor-wide jar of salsa crisis.
It was so bad.
Yeah. So we've got a couple of ideas of how you could try to open a glass jar that eventually probably won't work.
We couldn't get it open.
Yeah. First idea is you tap it with a knife.
Gently.
We don't need a Drake and Josh this. That's a funny reference for people that grew up with Drake and Josh.
With Jake and Dosh?
Jake and Dosh. Yeah, that's probably, if you Google, like, how to open a glass jar, one of the first things that you're going to get is probably, like, tap it gently with a knife of some sort.
Bunk it on a counter, mayhaps. Yeah. Also very gently.
Yeah. I've tried it before. That has never, literally never, ever worked for me. Maybe I did it wrong before. Yeah, I know so many people suggest it, so I'm sure it must work. I probably just don't know how to do it right.
That's what my mommy told me.
Yeah. Well, what I do is I go to my dad and I say, hey, can you open this jar of pickles? And he's like, sure. But yeah, so that's one way you can go about it.
Do we need to explain the system that we have cultivated?
Yeah, so this is usually not for glass jars, but for stubborn bottles of soda pop. What'll happen is I will be struggling to open my half-drunk bottle of
Dr. Pepper
cream soda, and I will not be able to get it open because I will have had like 4 sips of it, put the lid back on, put it in the fridge, and it will have done a carbonation, as they do. And so I, with my weak little arms, I will not be able to open it. And I'll like try my hardest, but then I'll turn to Scooter and I'll be like, can you open? And they will say yes. And then they will also struggle with it. And then they'll hand it back to me. And then I will be able to very easily unscrew it.
Immediately! It's so not fair!
Yeah. It's, I get all the credit despite doing minimum work. Because I give up pretty quickly. I will try really hard for, like, about 5 seconds to open it myself. And anytime Scooter isn't there, I just bite it with my mouth.
What?
I use my teeth to open it.
No!
Which sounds a lot more feral than it actually is, because
it sounds so feral.
And no, it's like you put it like sideways in your mouth, and then you just twist it while you're gripping it with your teeth.
That is so feral.
It's not good for your teeth.
No.
Which is why I don't do it unless I have to. Anyways, so that's our system, but some people don't have roommates who can do all the legwork and then
grease it.
And then to grease it, yeah. So you could try the knife method, but if that doesn't work for you, another common suggestion will probably be, like, grab a towel and try to get some leverage with that. Like that also usually isn't super helpful for me.
A little sticky grippy thing. Get a little sticky grippy thing.
Yeah.
As we learned last night, the back of a mouse pad.
Yeah.
Maybe won't work, but
yeah,
it's an option.
It's an option.
It functions like a sticky grabby thing.
Yeah. You could get just a whole thing of those sticky hands that you'd slap on the walls. Maybe try that. I don't think it would work.
Here, I have my sage advice for this episode is maybe you should just put it in timeout. Just put it in the corner and make it think about its actions. And you know what? Maybe you can shame it into opening. And maybe you won't. Maybe it'll do a nobody puts salsa in the corner or whatever. Yeah. But you know what? It's worth a shot.
Scooter's taking the restorative justice path by putting it in timeout and hoping that it learns from its mistakes. I'm going to give you the retributive justice.
We need to rehabilitate the salsa.
No, I believe in punitive justice.
No.
What we do is you slam that on the ground and it shatters and you get your sweet, sweet salsa at the expense of that jar.
But now your salsa's all over the floor.
That sounds like a you problem because you should have cleaned your floors to be edible.
I would like to quote something that Lynn said maybe 15 minutes ago. There's not a single floor anywhere that is clean.
You need to do a deep mop when you get into your dorm.
That's disgusting.
Okay, well, maybe you should be mopping the floor a little bit more often.
I do!
Okay,
Guys.
Ultimately, the thing that you have to do is you need to get someone who's incredibly powerful.
Guys, I've come up with an alternate solution. So what you do is you take Shaggy from Scooby-Doo with his super immense powers, right?
Because, like the memes from the at least a year ago.
Listen, they are timeless. Timeless.
Yeah. Okay, go on.
Since he is an entirely food-driven creature, he will open it for you. You will have to give some of it up as penance. But...
No, but the thing is I imagine that... Because there's like a summoning process you have to go through. Am I wrong? Like, you don't just have like a phone, the Shaggy phone. So I can be like, hey dude, I need you to use your god powers. I don't have a Shaggy phone, okay?
I can neither confirm nor deny this fact.
Yeah. Well, you can confirm the fact that I don't have a Shaggy
phone.
Well,
I'm talking about me.
Okay. Well,
I can confirm that you don't have one.
Yeah, exactly.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
So not everyone has a Shaggy phone, like you may or may not have.
I may or may not have it.
So really, there's like way more work that goes into it, and you would end up having to give up some of your salsa, give up some of the chips, and then you would also have to summon him with food, obviously, like a pentagram scenario with food in each corner.
You gotta get the Scooby-Doo food snacks.
Yeah, and you get one of each for each of the corners. Yeah. That'd be pretty fun, actually. We should try that.
Yes.
That'll be the next episode.
We'll get back to you on that.
Oh, anyways, I think really the only solution is to get someone who's incredibly powerful to open your jar of salsa. If all of these other things fail and you lose your Shaggy phone and you don't have any of the fruit gummies to spare,
no.
You know...
Not the food gummies.
Just get someone who's incredibly powerful to do it for you. Great answer, us. Moving on.
Good job.
Next question is, what do you do if your roommate pees on the floor in the bathroom and doesn't clean up after himself? This is a scenario I have never found myself in.
Oh my god, this is so much of a nightmare scenario. What?
Yeah. I think bathroom roommate problems are probably, like, the worst genre of roommate problems. Because how do you like gently ask, hey, could you clean up your pee from the floor? You can't.
First of all, why is the pee on the floor? Why is the pee not in the toilet?
The joke, because guys can't aim.
First of all, why the pee on the floor? Second of all, if you pee on the floor, I think you should notice that. And if you've noticed that you've peed on the floor, you should clean it up.
Yeah.
If you've noticed that you've peed on the floor and then you didn't clean it up.
Why?
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 What is wrong with you?
We were not given any context for this question.
No.
Well, the context that we were given was that this person only has one roommate, so it's not like a four people to a bathroom scenario. So they know the person. Who is peeing on the floor.
The culprit is clear.
Yeah.
they don't have to have a bathroom interrogation. Bathroom court will not be held.
Yeah. They don't need to hire a PI or anything. But yeah, so that's the only context we were given for this question. So I'm making some assumptions here, but it sounds like this is a person who has yet to live with another person.
I mean, I guess.
No, like, you know, like, a lot of freshmen, like, don't know what it means to live with another person and, like, share a space with them. So, unless this person has just, like, lived their entire college dorm experience, like, peeing on the floor and not clean, and no one said anything, I'm gonna guess that these are, like, some freshmen.
This or at is least, atrocious.
Yeah, I think that that might be what's happening here. And they just haven't realized that you can't just pee on the floor because other people use the bathroom. Which you would think is common sense. But, you know, there's stories about, like, freshmen just buying new packages of socks because they don't want to wash them.
That's stupid.
Which wash is stupid your socks. And wasteful, but, like, you know, this is a byproduct of having not lived on your own or with other people.
This is the formal Johnsonian plea. Wash your socks.
Yeah. That's the moral of today's podcast.
Yes.
Wash your socks. Wash your clean socks. Up your pee.
Clean up your pee.
Gosh, how to tackle this situation. I mean,
how did this happen?
I guess you could be really passive aggressive about it and... Or maybe, like, establish dominance by also peeing on the floor.
Say pee on top of their pee.
Yeah. Well, no, because it has to be, you have to, like, see, if you pee on top of their pee, it has to be, like, a ton. Because then it could just be, like, plausible deniability, like, you know, this person just, like, maybe sprinkled a little bit when they tinkled.
It's disgusting.
And they did not please be neat and wipe the seat. So, like... You could, that's one route, is that you could pee over their pee, but, like, a lot. But that's also kind of absolutely disgusting.
It's disgusting.
So, the other thing you can do with that is to mark your territory.
No!
Like, around their door. This is a joke. Don't do that. Because that's disgusting, and you would probably get in trouble.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that was God. A funny goof I just said. Don't do that. This is a certified Lin goof. Don't do that. What are some other things that you could do?
You should just leave a mop in their bed.
Yeah, and you can tuck it in and everything.
Yeah.
It'd be really sweet, actually.
Like, I have a little Swiffer thingy thing that you put the cleaning pads on. You should just leave a Swiffer in their bed.
Yeah.
And tuck it in, the end that goes on the floor is on the pillow, because mm-hmm. that's obviously the head.
This is actually kind of a tough question, because it's like, on one hand, like, don't clean that up, because then they're going to think that, like, you're fine with them peeing on
right,
the floor.
Right, they can just pee on the floor.
Yeah. But on the other hand, like, you don't want to live in a pee bathroom. That's gross. That's the thing, it's a hard question to answer, because really... Like I said, how do you approach someone and say, hey, you're filthy, and I need you to stop? There's no delicate way to, like, say that, I don't think.
I think maybe you should just, like, leave a sticky note on the door that says, why pee on floor?
Yeah, I think that would be pretty good.
Why pee on floor?
And then if it persists, have an actual conversation. And then if it still persists, that's an RA scenario.
Yeah, call your RA.
Be like, hey, my roommate
keeps peeing on the floor. In the bathroom!
Yeah. I also wish we had some context as for, like, how much pee we're talking about. Because, like I said, I'm, like, assuming that this is just, like, a missing the bowl scenario, and it's getting on the floor a little bit because the aim is bad, and they haven't lived with anyone, so they haven't ever had to really think about how disgusting and vile they're being. But what if it's actually they just peed all over the floor?
Just, like, a... Straight puddle.
Yeah.
Standing water. Standing pee.
Standing water.
That is disgusting.
You open the door and it leaked out.
Ah! No! Oh, you can't see me, but I'm shaking my hands because this is terrible.
So that's the thing. Is like some context would have been great here.
It's okay. It's okay that you didn't give us context. No, this is more funny.
Yeah, no, because now we get to speculate. Yeah, so silly answer. Pee even more than them. Serious answer. Take the sticky note to conversation to RA route.
It's Halloween. Hear me out. You pee so much that the next time they open the bathroom door, it's like that one scene in The Shining with the blood elevator. Except for instead of blood, when they open the door, it is just all your pee.
A wave of urine. It'd be a really funny joke prank to play. Yeah, instead of mom finding the pee drawer, it's roommate found the pee room.
The pee room.
And that'll wrap up our advice segment for this week.
Oh my god, don't pee on the floor.
Don't pee on the floor. So, it's all spooky this month. Okay, bit over. It's... getting near Halloween time and to prime you.
Get you warmed up.
Yeah, to get you ready. We're going to talk about some campus ghost stories. Last year, around this time, the Johnsonian published an article about the ghost of Johnson called Caroline. She's named after Caroline Crawford. If you'd like, you can go read the story about that. You just gotta Google what we Googled, which is Winthrop Johnson ghost. And if it's from October 2020, you found the right one.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, no, we love Caroline. She's definitely, I don't believe in ghosts, but she's definitely done like a little swooshy thing to me before because I was sitting up on the second floor of Johnson, which is not near any windows. It's overlooking the lobby. And I was doing some stuff on Zoom. And lo and behold, I'm sitting there minding my own business. And a large whew goes past me, like blows my hair and everything. And I was like, huh, interesting. Also, a couple of my friends, that's not a couple. Anyway, my friends, they were in there rehearsing some stuff for musical theater showcase, which is coming up, more on that later. And all up in the flies area and the walkways, which is up above the stage, that's where all of like the curtain things are, there were some doors opening and closing and a creaking, which is, you know, scary because there was no one up there.
Okay.
Very Phantom of the Opera of you, Caroline. Thank you. There are also plenty of other Caroline stories out there. I will do my best to accrue them.
Yeah, there are a couple of them in the article we mentioned that they got from different students and some professors. I've had some weird experiences. Like, I don't know. I, too, do not believe in ghosts, but I lived in Wofford my freshman year, and one time there was this thing my roommate at the time told me about. She was like, yeah, I heard that last night on the fourth floor, and I lived on the fifth floor, that on the fourth floor, there was someone just going down the halls, like the different, the corners of the halls and like rattling the doorknobs. And I was like, why would someone do that? Because that would be a weird thing for a person to do. So like later that night, it was like after midnight.
Ooh.
Yeah, whoa, it's the wishing hour.
No, that is three.
I know. Don't be a nerd. I'm trying to tell a story.
I can't believe you just called me that. Oh my god.
Yeah.
This is retribution for earlier.
Yeah. So it was like past midnight, and there was just like a rattling of our doorknob. And I was like, me and my roommate like locked eyes, and we were like, this is just like the thing you mentioned a couple hours ago. It was a very Chekhov's gun moment.
I hope like, you like my sound effects.
Like, looking back, I was like, she said the thing about it, and then it happened on our floor. That's weird. Anyway, so at the time, I was like, why is someone, like, is someone trying to get into our room? Because that'd be super scary.
That's also just frightening.
Yeah, no, I was not thinking about this as a ghost. I was thinking about someone's trying to get into our room. And then I heard,
don't do that. That's gross.
Yeah, don't do that. And then I heard the door next to ours, it sounded like the rattling had moved on from our door and gone down there. I looked out the peephole, and I didn't see anyone there, obviously, because the noise had gone down the hall. When it finally, like, got down towards the end of the hall, where there's, like, not, like, an exit there, it's just the end of the hall, and they would have to come back by our door to, like, get to the elevator or something. Didn't hear them, like, come past our door either. I opened the door, and I looked down the hall in the direction that the noises had gone, and there was not a person there.
Ooh,
very spooky. So that was one weird thing. Another night, I went to go use the hall bathroom because I needed to use the bathroom. and so, like I said, if you, like, go down the hall, it just reaches, like, a dead end. So you'd have to come back by our room to get out towards the elevator or a staircase or something. Further down that way, there's the bathroom. And I was in the bathroom, and I heard someone, like, running down the hallway, knocking on doors. And it was like 3 a.m. So I was like, oh, someone must be looking for someone, not know it. Like 3 a.m. logic. I was like, someone's probably looking for someone or something. I don't know. I just need to pee.
3 a.m. logic is the most sound logic.
But by the time I had like gotten done with my business and I went to go wash my hands, the knocking had stopped at the door nearest the bathroom's entrance. And I looked in the hallway, and I had heard them running, like, their footsteps down the hall. I didn't hear them running in the other direction, and I didn't see anyone there.
Gross.
It was very weird. I'm sure that there is some explanation for that, because, like I said, this was 3 a.m. I probably was not paying the most attention, but it was pretty spooky.
This is the part of the segment where I be sad because I am basically ghost repellent. I would love to be haunted, but no, I get nothing ever.
I think you're going to be on your deathbed and you're going to be visited by a ghost and it'll scare you so much that you die.
I will be fine with that.
Yeah, and then you can walk with them to haunt some idiots.
I don't know if it would scare me so much that I would die, more than I'd be like...
You'd be so excited that your heart...
Finally!
That your heart couldn't take it.
Take me away!
Yeah, it'll be very poetic or something, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
We currently live in a room that is big air quotes haunted by a ghost.
Big air quotes!
Big air quotes. This is... I mean, obviously, everything we say is 100% true here. So, we're definitely haunted, but the way that we're haunted is, like, very easily explained by
Thanks.
Common, like, occurrences.
The floor tap dancing is a
the
little...
The floor tap dancing is a little weird.
For reference, there is no floor above us, it's just the roof.
Yeah.
So, if somebody's tap dancing on the roof, I have some questions for you.
Yeah.
Send them in to us HortonL@mytjnow.com.
So we have a ghost. We have lovingly named him something we cannot repeat on air. Which is not to say that obviously we did not name him something offensive. It just contains a curse.
Curse words.
A cuss that my mother would not be pleased to hear.
Heap bum bum bum.
Yeah, we can call him HP for now.
HP.
Yeah. His name is HP for the purposes of this podcast. HP came about by a weird thumping in the wall next to my bed.
There is nothing there, because we live right next to the double doors.
We do. So I have no idea what that was, but it was really funny because we were going to text the floor groupie about it.
I forgot about this!
Yeah. No, we were going to text the floor groupie like, hey, there's a weird thumping from the wall. I have no idea what's causing it. And then we went to take a video of it
and it
immediately
stopped.
It was so funny. And then that happened another time.
Yeah.
The thumping happened again.
Later that night.
No, but like on another day as well.
Yeah.
And we tried to get a video, and as soon as we pulled out the camera, it was like, I'm shy, actually.
And then there was that one time where I yelled at it and it stopped. Do you remember that?
Yes. Yeah. So HP is a pleasantly stupid ghost.
There were some light flickeries the other day that made no sense.
Really? Was I there for that?
No.
No, okay. Yeah, we like to blame our ghost for all of the weird stuff that happens. There was also like a weird rumbling coming from inside of our air vent once.
Yeah, it sounded like water, like bubbly water.
It did.
It was gross.
We realized later that given the like hole in the ceiling when we went down to the basement floor, it was probably something to do with some pipes. But also, we could just blame it on our ghost.
Most of the stuff that the ghost does is the pipes. Except for the ceiling.
Except for the ceiling. I mean, there could be, like, a bird or a squirrel or something, but it feels like...
It's a bit heavy.
It's a little bit more dense of a step.
Yeah.
We hear noises from the people above us, the people above us being God.
Yeah.
Because it's just the roof.
I also did get a solid thump from my side of the room the other day in the wall. It wasn't one of our suite mates, so I'm not really sure what happened, but it was a big ol' thump from right behind the wall, and I was like, I was a dummy, and in response to the thump, I thumped back.
Yeah, well, that seems to be your approach to ghostly happenings, so. Yeah, but there are, like, a ton of people who have had, like, weird experiences on campus. Bancroft just the second floor of Bancroft. Bancroft used to be a dorm, which is why the hallways are so wide, because back in ye olden days, you would have to bring in your, like,
trunks.
Giant wooden trunk and leave it out in the hallway for some period to, like, unpack. And the second floor of Bancroft just feels, like, very...
Frightening.
I think it's very pleasantly haunted.
It makes me uncomfy.
Okay, well, it's because you're not an English major and you don't belong there.
Oh my god. Okay.
Yeah, no, I like the second floor.
I don't ever actually go up there anymore.
It's very nice. I like the reading room and the bathrooms. Like, if you go in the bathrooms, there's, like, shower stalls and stuff because, again, people used to live there.
Tillman is haunted.
But it's really nice. Tillman has stocks in it.
Tillman has the slave stocks that they should definitely probably maybe get rid of.
No. We need to keep them for history or something. I don't know.
Or something.
Or something. Yeah.
No,
Johnson is just kind of weird. I've been in there. The vibe is weird.
No, I like it in there. We do have, like...
Listen, you don't like the second floor of Bancroft. I cannot like Johnson.
We have, like, four different portraits of people around, and I don't know who they are. Maybe somebody knows who they are. I don't think that we know who they are.
Isn't it, like, a running joke that no one knows who any of the portraits are of?
Yep.
That's fine.
There are at least three of them. There are two in the main room and then one out across from the black box.
Yeah. Also, once when we were sitting there with a friend, and I just got a weird chill all at once.
That was also on the second floor where I heard the whoo.
Might have just been an air vent or something. Might have been a ghost. Yeah. If you have any ghost stories.
Send us ghost stories, please. Send us your ghost stories.
I think that'd be a super good fun time that I would enjoy very much.
Please.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes our spooky ghost story retelling. Ooh. If you submit us a ghost story, you can just tell it in a very funny or direct way. But I also would love you to write it out in like cinematic detail, with all the dramatic tension and suspense. And then I could read it out with like spooky music underneath it.
There I was.
And there I was. So now we move into a truly frightening subject.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
But also I'm kind of mad.
But also I'm kind of mad. Last week, the Mascali was 30, which was only up 3 from the week before that. You want to guess how many popped up this week? You want to know what the number is? The number is 44. That is up 14. This is retribution for us using our big fat mouths last week to be
now,
like...
Now, listen, I stand by. I praise people when they do good, and I will yell at them when they do bad. You've done bad right after you did good. How dare you?
You've ruined it.
You've ruined it.
How dare you?
I'm putting you in timeout.
Yeah, you get to sit with the salsa in the corner.
I'm taking away your Xbox privileges. You get unsauced spaghetti.
But unsauced spaghetti is good.
Well, I'm not going to not feed you.
Well, I like unsauced
spaghetti. The metaphor is crumbling before our eyes, just like
anyway.
The moral backbone of this trip.
Yeah. So you get to sit in the corner with the salsa and HP, and you will think about what you've done.
HP will thump you on the head.
Thump you on the head.
So disappointed in all of you who have littered on
Two
campus.
Of them were, like, not even disposable masks. Like, they were cloth masks. Who is missing their cloth masks? Guys, come on.
That is terrible. Why?
Anyway.
Why, I ask. I'm not going to drag this out any longer. You guys suck. How dare you? We had such high hopes for you and you ruined it.
Right.
You're going to have to regain our trust before you get
mask
a candy
count?
Bar. Mask count. 44.
44. Come on. Pandemic still happen.
Indeed. I'm
Thank
hoping
you.
For good things for next week, but you dashed my hopes
dashed
before,
my hopes
so
and dreams on the rocks
I'm
below.
I'm not gonna get them up too high anymore.
Yeah.
Curse you.
Get it because it's Halloween, huh?
Get it because it's Halloween. I'm gonna hex you and you will...
I put a spell on you.
Yeah, I'm gonna become one of the hex girls. And
that is not the hex girls.
But it won't be pleasant.
It's not the hex girls.
I know, I'm just saying, I'm gonna put a hex on you like the hex girls. We all remember the Hex Girls. Everyone
I have the Hex Girls on my backpack.
Well, we've got to lighten the mood, we've got a special little submission. It's a pet picture.
Guess what, guys? I got a pet picture. This is Linus. Everyone say hi, Linus.
Hi, Linus.
This is actually Alcoholics Anonymous. No. So this is Linus. Linus is my friend Miranda's cat. He is gray. His picture will be up on the Johnsonian website.
However, you have to give like an image description.
Oh, yes. No, I am doing that. However, it will also be up on the Johnsonian website. He is gray. He is slightly more gray on his face than he is on the rest of his person. His cat.
His catson.
His catson. Eyes 4 days. They are so big, and when I tell you there is not a singular thought, not one.
So you can, the eyes are so big that you can peer through them
you
into
can
the,
see.
The empty brain cavity.
Exactly. But he's very, very large, very proper. He's got lots of whiskers, big ol' eyes, no thoughts, mm-hmm. A nice little mouth, and guess what? He's got a bow tie.
Got a cute little bow tie.
He's got a little bow tie like the dapper gentleman he is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we love Linus.
We love Linus. This is a very good picture. If you have a cute pet that you would like us to praise,
send us pet pictures.
Send us pet pictures. Which Thank leads you. Us into my call for submissions.
Thank you,
what
Miranda.
A smooth transition. Thank you, Miranda. So yeah, if you have cute pet pictures or art that you would like to submit and have praised and loved by your beloved hosts, the us, on our podcast, you should submit them to us. If you have any questions that you would like answered.
In a lovely manner.
In a very knowledgeable and intelligent, coherent, and responsible manner.
Yes.
Send them to us. And if you have any ghost stories or stories in general from around campus or the Rock Hill area.
Cryptid stories.
We would love to hear them. And you can submit those to us at hortonl@mytjnow.com. That's HORTONL@mytjnow.com. tjnow.com. Just like that.
Yay!
Yay! thank you again for listening to another episode of On Air the Johnsonian. We
thank
always
you.
Appreciate it.
Yes.
Come back next week where we're going to be looking at some supernatural spooky creatures and we're going to...
Just some guys.
We're going to do some analysis. We're going to do some spooktober analysis on the scary guys that haunt your dreams.
The scary guys, yes.
The scary guys that haunt your dreams.
Lots of scary guys.
Yeah, lots of scary guys.
In store.
And we're going to jump scare you so hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Jump scare.
Look forward to it. Ah! See? just like that. But until then, stay safe.
Wear your mask.
Peruse your local Spirit Halloween.
And have a horribly, wonderfully spooky rest of your week. Ooh.
Editor's note.
Musical Theater Showcase opens this weekend. I'm in it. You should come see me. It'll be fun. It's all opening numbers. It runs about 45 minutes. We open on Thursday the 7th at 7:30 p.m. Friday the 8th, also at 7:30 p.m. Saturday the 9th, also at 7:30 p.m. And Sunday the 10th at 2 p.m. And the show takes place on Johnson Stage. You can get your tickets through the box office.
See what happens when you listen to the entire podcast? You get the extra bits that we forget.